Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And it's hour number two on this Wednesday, already past halfway through the month of January in this new year. I mean, I'm not sure at what point a year stops being new, but it's got to be getting close to that point right now. But great to have you with us. I'm Jerry Escher, honored to be in the host chair for Cy Kellett today, who will be back with you, I believe, tomorrow. I'll be in on Friday again as well. So always enjoy being a part of this program again. I was actually the founding host of Catholic Answers Live in 1998 on a whopping four radio stations. And now we're on a few hundred. Thanks be to God, and thanks to you for your generous prayers and support of Catholic Radio. And as promoted during hour number one, this hour we're going to talk about the Beatitudes. And you are familiar with them. We hear them read in Matthew, the passage from Matthew 25 at Mass very, very frequently. And you know the Beatitudes. You probably, I don't know if you could recite them from memory, but, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, and so on and so forth. We're going to talk about those this hour, and we invite your participation because we want to talk about how these apply to our everyday lives. So if you have a question about any one of the Beatitudes, what its deeper meaning might be, how you can practically employ it in your own life, we welcome you to join us right now at 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And here to help us unpack this is Father Jeff Kirby. He is a priest since 2007. He received his master's in bioethics from Queen of the Apostles in Rome and his master's of arts in philosophy from Franciscan University, where he graduated summa cum laude. And since 2010, he has been vicar of vocations for the Diocese of Charleston, where he has guided numerous young men and women in the spiritual life and in the process of discernment. And in 2011, he founded the Drexel House, a Catholic residence for men. Drawing on these experiences, he wrote the book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, published in 2014. And he has been a contributor to publications such as Homiletic and Pastoral Review, and his most recent book is Kingdom of Happiness, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life, which just happens to be what we're talking about today. Coincidence? I think not. Father Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be on the show.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the phone number to call. In a nutshell, Father, we know the Beatitudes. Like I said, we've heard them probably over and over again, and we can kind of gloss over them sometimes because they can become a little bit familiar to us. But what exactly, what are the Beatitudes? Why are they called that, and what's the significance of them?
Yeah, so first of all, the word Beatitude, it's a synonym biblically for happiness. So we can say that it's the Beatitudes are the 8-point path to happiness, hence the title of the book, Kingdom of Happiness. So the idea is that in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord provided us with a sure path, I say the centuries-tested, fame-producing path to happiness. And we all know we want to be happy. It's part of our human nature. We were made for happiness. The Beatitudes are the path that the Lord has given to us in order to find, live, and be instruments of that happiness to other people. Of course, as soon as I say that, someone might say, well, wait a minute. You know, it seems as if, that sounds maybe like a health and wealth gospel, right? Or maybe that sounds a little secular. And of course, I understand that because the word happiness has been hijacked by many different groups, our secular culture. And through this book and other measures, I want to be a part of the fight to get our word back. You know, happiness is a word that belongs within the Christian faith. It belongs right there in the Sermon on the Mount. It's contained beautifully and powerfully in those 8 Beatitudes.
Well, Father, what would you say to those who say, okay, you know, the church is obsessed with rules. You know, it's all about guidelines and rules and, you know, no, the word no, don't do this, don't do that. Well, you know, the Beatitudes sound like maybe almost another set of kind of like rules that kind of restrict us and so forth. Is there a response you would give to that?
Sure. I would take the to such a person that would voice such an observation, I would take them to Matthew chapter 19, the encounter of our Lord with the rich young man. So the rich young man, he followed all the rules. The rules are important. You know, oftentimes you can hear people say, oh, Christianity is not about rules, it's about relationship. No, it's about both. One cannot have a proper and ordered relationship without rules. You know, so the rich young man, he followed the rules. The Lord blessed him for that. But he knew there was something missing. It's like, what still do I lack? And of course, the young man was saying no, but he was forgetting that we say no so that we can say yes, right? And of course, the Lord called him to discipleship and gave that beautiful invitation, come follow me. The rich young man in Matthew 19 declined. You know, many people in our world today decline, even some people in the pews, right? Because the Lord gives that invitation to us, yes. You know, part of following the Lord Jesus is denial. It's taking up the cross. It's allowing his grace to heal us and order so many of our own disorders in terms of sin or darkness or vanity or narcissism, but to say no to those things so that we can say yes to him and experience that powerful freedom that has been won for us in Jesus Christ. So I would say, you know, following Jesus is, yes, about saying no, but the Beatitudes shows that it's also about saying yes, that every abnegation will contain a blessing. The abnegations of our life as Christians is the path to happiness. Every cross will bring a crown in Jesus Christ. And that, of course, are the promises he's given to us as his disciples.
Catholic Answers Live, Father Jeff Kirby is with us discussing the Beatitudes as found in Matthew chapter 25. Living those Beatitudes in our everyday lives, that is the topic of our conversation today, and the subtitle of his most recent book, Kingdom of Happiness, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life. If you have a question on this topic, it's 888-318-7884. I'll quickly run through the Beatitudes for those of you who are listening, because you know, you may have a specific question about any one of those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You might want, what does it mean? I've always wondered what it means to be poor in spirit. I'm going to ask Father Jeff about that, but you might have a question on that. Blessed are the meek. What does meekness consist of in our lives? Blessed are those who mourn. You may have been mourning at some point in your life. Maybe you are right now. You're grieving. You're mourning. And you're thinking, how is this a blessing to me? You know, Father Jeff can certainly help you make a little bit better sense of that. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice. Okay, what does that mean? What does justice consist of? Blessed are the merciful. How do you be more merciful to other people in your everyday life? Blessed are the clean or the pure of heart, for they shall see God. How do you strive for purity or a cleanness of heart in your own personal life? Blessed are the peacemakers. That is something that is maybe sorely lacking in our world today. You might be wondering how you can bring more peace into the sphere of influence in which you live. The last one, blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You might even want to say, Father, help me out here. You know, how do I embrace persecution and see that as a blessing in my life? So those are the Beatitudes, and any questions you have about them are fair game here at 888-318-7884. Father, in your book, you describe a choice between two kingdoms. Talk about, you know, what each of those kingdoms are real quick.
Yeah, so Jerry, right from, you know, our Lord's own teachings, Jesus presented two paths. Of course, the wide path is followed by many, and the narrow path that is followed by few. And he kind of gives this paradox of back and forth, you know, that so an option is a choice. You know, we have to choose life, or we have to choose discipleship. We have to choose, to pursue that freedom that he's offered to us. And so from that image of two paths, you know, in the early church, we have this image of two cities, and borrowing from the early Jesuits was the notion of two kingdoms. Incidentally, Pope St. John Paul II later gave us two cultures, culture of life, culture of death. all of these images are used in order for us to understand the importance of making a decision, right? Will we stand into flame the graces of the sacraments? Will we make that personal and radical declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord? Like, will we choose, you know, this the city of God? Will we choose this kingdom of God? Because the city of God, the kingdom of God, is marked by the things of God, you know, so peace, patience, kindness, love, self-control, generosity. We see that. Paul lists them in Galatians 5, the fruits of God's Spirit. You know, we know from the liturgy, it's a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace, and so on. And those are the things of God. So if we're going to choose to spread his kingdom, if we're going to choose to follow God, that's the kingdom we're called to spread. And that will require self-denial. But of course, we have the city of man or the kingdom of man. And that's all about us, right? So instead of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have instead the fallen Trinity of me, myself, and I. And it's about me. It's about my egoism. It's about my narcissism, about possession, ownership, domination. And we see that too. We see that darkness in our world, in our own hearts, perhaps. We have to hear the call of the Lord Jesus to follow the path of happiness, to follow the kingdom of God. And that is contained most powerfully, most succinctly, in the Eight Beatitudes.
888-318-7884 is our phone number. Going to get a quick break here and then get to some of your questions for Father Jeff Kirby talking about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. Again, it's 888-318-7884 to join us here on Catholic Answers Live. More to come. Please stay with us.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Brassard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, and if you've just joined us for the first time this week, or maybe in this new year, the month of January, you may know that we have the March for Life coming up this week in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and Walks for Life and marches and walks all over this great country. Don't count on seeing it reported on the major network news, but you'll hear about it on Catholic radio. And I mentioned it because January is Sanctity of Life Month. And for the entire month of January, Catholic Answers is making a couple of fantastic pro-life resources available to you at amazing savings. Literally, I'm talking 70% off the normal price. A $5 bill will get you a copy of Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life. You want to be persuasive when you talk about this. You want to be charitable, polite, gentle, and all of that. But we need to be persuasive. And Trent has honed his skills and the arguments over the years. And his book, Persuasive Pro-Life, is available for $5 a copy, as is his DVD, Making the Case for Life. Either one of those is $5 each. Again, it's a savings of 70%, and you can find that at the shop at Catholic.com or by phone right now. The customer service folks are standing by, and they're oh so friendly and great to talk to at 888-291-8000. So please check that out definitely before the month of January is up, and maybe right now while you're thinking about it. 888-291-8000 or Catholic.com, the shop right there online. Father Jeff Kirby with us talking about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. That is the subject matter of his latest book. And we're going to go to your phone calls right now. Nathan in Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Nathan, I have to ask you first, how do you say the name of your town there? Would you help us out with that?
It's Niceville.
Niceville?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I love that. That just fits in with our conversation here. How can Father Jeff help you, Nathan? Thanks for calling from Niceville, Florida.
Of course. I had a question. I was talking to my girlfriend recently about porn spirit, because she's been feeling a little bit lacking in God's presence lately, and we were wondering, what exactly does porn spirit mean? We thought it meant something like people who are lacking in feeling God's presence, or weren't terribly moved by faithfulness. What exactly does that mean, and how can it apply to our situation?
Yeah, so first, that's a great question. I'm glad you live in Niceville, not Meanville, okay?
Meanville's just down the road.
right. We can all go there, so we got to be careful. But I appreciate your question, and some things I want to highlight in terms of that first beatitude. So first, it's only the first and the last beatitude that mentioned the kingdom of God by name. And the early teachers of our faith saw them as bookends. So one really enters the kingdom of God precisely by a poverty of spirit. And then after living in the kingdom, the other beatitudes expressing this dynamism of following Jesus or pursuing happiness, living the beatitudes, that one then finds the strength in order to accept the commission, be willing to suffer for the sake of righteousness, which is the eighth beatitude. So the first beatitude is an entrance way. In the spiritual life, we sometimes speak of the purgative way, which is when God empties us. So oftentimes he'll remove emotions, or he will take away consolations, and we have to experience a certain spiritual darkness, not in a bad way, not darkness in the sense of wickedness, but darkness here in a sense of a void. And he will do that in order to cleanse us, purify us of self-love and things that get in the way of loving him. So sometimes we can love God even for the wrong reasons. I love God because I want something. And I kind of treat him like Santa Claus. And that first beatitude, that purgative way, is about purging that, where we love God simply because he is love. Because he is God. So we love him, our love becomes pure. So practically what that means in terms of poverty of spirit is, obviously, yes, it's the simplicity of life, that we don't overindulge in the possession of material things. That is a part of the first beatitude. It also means that we allow ourselves to feel a certain emptiness. So for example, like when we want to talk about ourselves, but instead we let others speak about themselves, right? When we kind of want to be the center of attention, but we instead allow others. When our heart breaks because we have to say goodbye to people, So there can be a poverty of spirit emotionally, spiritually, as well as materially. And it's precisely by allowing ourselves to have empty hands, to allow our hearts to be broken, to allow ourselves to know that in the end, all we need is God. And we seek to love God for himself, not because of our own selfishness, that we can begin to understand the kingdom that's opened up to us as God's children. Does that help?
Okay. Definitely.
That's
thank
a
you
lot,
so much.
Isn't it?
Awesome.
Right.
Thank you, Nathan,
enjoy
for your
nice
call.
Show.
Yeah. Thanks for participating in the program today. That will open up a phone line, 888-318-7884, talking about the Beatitudes as found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. If you have any question at all about any one of them, understanding them better, and we're talking in particular about just implementing them in our day-to-day lives with Father Jeff Kirby. Again, it's 888-318-7884. Is Seth ready for us? I think, not quite yet. So we'll just take another moment there, and then we'll get to Seth, who, by the way, Father is calling from Charleston, South Carolina. So we'll get to Seth in just a moment. Again, it's 888-318-7884. I mentioned, Father, when I was listing the Beatitudes, the one that may be very, very puzzling for people is, blessed are those who mourn. Nobody wants to mourn. I mean, that seems so dour and just undesirable, you know. So why in the world would the Beatitudes include something that says, if you're mourning, you're blessed? What does that mean?
Yes, well, while that expression can have different tiers in its best context in terms of the scriptures, how's that? Because, again, the Beatitudes are a summation of Old Testament wisdom. And the first intention of that is that one mourns or grieves over one's sins or over the evils of our world. So we hear about, you know, great tragedies and we grieve. We're not apathetic. We're not dismissive. We grieve. We're attentive to the sufferings of our neighbors. We're aware of our own fallenness, our own weakness and sinfulness, and we grieve that. You know, I wish I could be better. I wish I could practice virtue more. I wish I would say no to sin more. So it's in that context that the Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, is properly understood. Now, obviously, it can involve, you know, the grieving of a loved one, the death of a loved one, in which case, you know, the acknowledgement of brokenness, right? So we can, of course, see that when a loved one dies, I don't have control. I had no control over this. I don't know why this person is not with me anymore. And to be able to acknowledge that and to allow ourselves that gentle suffering, that grieving, then opens us up in order to receive God's blessings.
Very good. Father Jeff Kirby is with us here on Catholic Answers Live. Again, the phone number is 888-318-7884. Father Jeff has been a priest since 2007, and I mentioned that since 2010, he's been the Vicar of Vocations for the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina, helping young men and women in the discernment process. God is still calling as many, if not more, men and women to priesthood and religious life as the Church ever has, and we need to certainly be helping them. And Father, we are so grateful for your work in doing that. And his most recent book is Kingdom of Happiness, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life. And that is what we are talking about right now. And we are set to go to Seth, who is calling from Charleston. Father Jeff, he's calling, listening on Mediatrix Radio there in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Seth. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Seth?
Good. Oh, good. I'm doing well. My question for Father Kirby is there anything more specific within the Church Fathers or within the Catechism that talks about the specific meanings of each beatitude, like the poor in spirit, another one is the pure in heart, or the righteous, or the thirst for righteousness? It just seems like we get a lot of take on from different people on what they actually mean, some from more like liberal theologians to, I mean, there's a lot written on it and a lot of opinion. But is there anything by the Church Fathers that's very concrete? And in the Catechism, I like the Catechism, but it also seems kind of open-ended. And maybe what are some examples that he's noticed in his life, in his ministry, that he can say for sure this person's living, you know, one of the Beatitudes? Just a specific example. The specifics are things that I definitely would need to help incorporate them into my life.
Yeah, and Father, we've got a little less than 2 minutes till a hard break, but we can continue after that. So go ahead and get started.
Sure. First, I thank you for your question. Most of the early fathers really enjoyed the Beatitudes. There are certain portions of the Lord's teachings that the early fathers particularly enjoyed: the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so on. That oftentimes they would use almost catechetically by having this kind of outline provided by the scriptures and especially by the Lord's teachings that use them. So we find a lot of commentary or use of the Beatitudes in the early teachings, probably most systematically in St. Augustine, who used the Beatitudes in a very particular way in terms of teaching the Christian way of life, especially those who were seeking baptism, who were catechumens. So we do find that the Beatitudes were heavily used. In fact, used a lot more in the early church than what I think they're used a lot in catechesis or adult formation today, which I think we need to change. But there are a lot of examples in everyday lived life of Beatitudes. We can talk about more after the break.
Yeah, hang on, Seth, for just a minute. Father Jeff from your neck of the woods there will have more for you on that question. Catholic Answers Live at 888-318-7884, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life with Father Jeff Kirby. And I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. More of your calls and questions, including a continuation of the answer for Seth, coming right up.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I was raised Catholic, but then went to the other side and tried to commit suicide a couple of times several years ago. My Savior happened to be a Catholic priest here locally, and I wanted to say, though, surrounding myself with people like yourself and this radio station. This morning I felt kind of alone, and then I was like, oh yeah, EWTN. Oh, I love it.
Catholic Answers Live, your go-to source for all things Catholic, apologetics, evangelization, moral teachings, discussions about Scripture, and today we're talking about in particular a passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life. Blessed are the dot, dot, dot. There are eight of them there. And if you got a question about any one of those, get a hold of us here at 888-318-7884. Okay, Father, I had to cut you off there a little bit there for that unmovable break. But Seth in Charleston had put a question to you that you were talking to one of your folks who live right in your neck of the woods there.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to just give a few examples. So Seth was asking about some of the early church teachings on the Beatitudes and then maybe practical examples. And, you know, oftentimes we can see those examples in people who are trying to live their discipleship. So, you know, in terms of poverty of spirit, like, you know, it's, you know, being a willingness to tithe, even when it's a hardship, to give, you know, the 10% to the parish and to the poor. You know, can be found in a married couple that, you know, are open to life, you know, when they know that they can, you know, manipulate the sexual powers and yet choose to show this poverty of spirit, this openness to God and to his will. It can be found just in purchasing things, like practical things that, you know, I do, you know, I don't need another pair of blue jeans. I have enough, you know, or I don't need to throw these blue jeans out. I can use them for a couple more months, or I can give them to the poor and so on. So it's, you know, the Beatitudes, when they become a mindset and a way of life, they influence everything we do, you know. So, you know, in terms of, we spoke about earlier about the understanding of grieving, you know, of having sorrow and mourning. And that's, you know, again, that sense in the Christian heart of knowing when we've done wrong, you know, not denying it, not justifying it, not rationalizing it, but accusing ourselves before God. I was a jerk in that situation, or I shouldn't have said that, and allowing ourselves to grieve and to repent of our sin. So the life of the Beatitudes, as we say yes to the Lord Jesus, we see the Beatitudes as the path to happiness, as the path to blessing. So something that I particularly like that Pope Benedict has written, he describes the Beatitudes as the interior biography of the Lord Jesus, you know, and I think it's very powerful because those of us who want to follow Jesus, who love him, oftentimes we can look at his sacred heart and think, what's going on in there, you know, and the Beatitudes describe the sentiments of his heart. It describes his way of life. It's an interior biography. And for those of us who want to be like him and want to spread his kingdom, we see in the Beatitudes the best way to do that.
How's that, Seth? Does that get at what you were inquiring about?
Yes, no, that was perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Awesome.
Take care.
Glad we could be of assistance to you, Seth. Call the program anytime. We're going to go to our friend Gil next in Manhattan, New York, on Catholic Answers Live with Father Jeff Kirby. Hello again. Welcome back, Gil.
Hi. Oh, it's a pleasure and a treasure always. I wanted to ask, in relation to 1 Corinthians 6:19 and Matthew 5:8, Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the clean in heart, for they shall see God." And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" I want you to tell me how, and the listeners, how it relates to sexual purity and keeping ourselves pure until marriage.
Yeah, so first of all, I like your quote there from 1 Corinthians. You, of course, recall that was our reading, our second reading this past week at Mass. And it's important for us to understand our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that when Paul is using that term temple, I mean, he's using a highly charged expression. I mean, the temple was the holding place of the presence of God. So St. Paul is obviously really stressing the holiness of our human body, its goodness. And in terms of the Beatitudes, you know, when the Lord speaks about the clean of heart or the pure of heart, it's important that, yes, that does involve sexual purity, but only as an expression of the cleanness of one's heart. And biblically, how that would be best understood is that we allow ourselves to seek God's providence. So when there's suffering, when there's evil, when desolation or despair kind of want to overcome or eclipse our hearts, that we seek goodness. We allow our hearts to be pure. So when someone sees someone and they're only filled with judgment and hatred, we look beyond that. You know, instead, we have a clean heart. We do not see, you know, a sinner. We see a child of God. You know, so while others are passing judgment, we choose to pass a helping hand. So there's an integrity, a purity of heart that allows us to see God's goodness in all things. Because of that, that then extends into, you know, sexual purity and a social modesty that should be a part of our way of life as Christians. So the Beatitudes, while certainly it addresses sexual purity, it's much, much deeper, right? So in the same Sermon on the Mount, the Lord will describe, like, you know, it's not simply that one commits adultery, but it's whether or not you have adulterous thoughts in your mind, right? So again, the Lord is calling us deeper to a real conversion and transformation of heart. So that's really, I don't want us to miss the big picture. And I think the real foundation that gives strength to the desire for sexual purity. Does that help, Gil?
Yes. Matthew 5:28 says that if a man looks at a woman, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, I just quoted that to you. Yep. Right.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So the same point, I say you have to go right to the heart. So here in the Beatitudes, the Lord's speaking about having that goodness of heart that certainly flows out into, you know, bodily purity, but it begins in one's heart. So the body and soul work together. You know, we can't just worry about sexual purity. It's like, well, you know, I didn't look at pornography. I didn't commit adultery. So I'm good to go. No. No. Back it up. That's good that you didn't do those things, but it's also that there's things of the soul. There's an ordering of the soul, an integrity, a purity of the soul that has to be sought by God's grace. So that's the Lord's asking for more in this context. So that's
right,
a great
thanks,
question,
Gil.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, as always, Gil, your grasp on Scripture is very, very inspiring and impressive. Keep it up and call us here on Catholic Answers Live again anytime at 888-318-7884. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, talking with Father Jeff Kirby about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. And just an exhortation to all of you as we get set to go back to your calls. If you're not all that familiar, maybe you're overly familiar with the Beatitudes because you've heard them so many times. But pick up your Bible and go to Matthew 25 sometime in the next few days and just read and ponder and meditate on those. And maybe also look for a copy of Father Jeff Kirby's his latest book, which is called Kingdom of Happiness: Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life, which, by the way, Father, I presume is available in good Catholic bookstores and, you know, Amazon and all the usual places?
That's right. Exactly. Amazon, your local Catholic bookstore, from the publisher, St. Benedict Press, any of those. My website, frkirby.com, has some information. And Jerry, I want to just clarify, because I think we said it a couple times, but the Beatitudes are actually in Matthew chapter 5.
Matthew, I've been saying Matthew 20. What's in Matthew 25 that I'm fixated on here on this program
actually,
today?
It connects because it's the final judgment. You know, did you feed the sick? Did you give drink?
That's what I'm thinking of. Oh my goodness. How many people are thinking, what an idiot this guy is? He's a Catholic radio host and he doesn't know where the Beatitudes are. Okay, so, yeah, well I
like the connection. I like the connection. I think it fits, you know. So, I just wanted to mention that. So.
Yeah. Well, you're about 38 minutes tardy in mentioning that, Father, because you should have corrected me early in the program, and Gil just did as well. So thanks for that, for straightening me out on that. Okay, we're going to go to Anonymous in Massachusetts, listening to Catholic Answers Live in that great state. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome. You're on with Father Jeff Kirby.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
My question to you is, what exactly do you consider the Beatitudes? I know you concentrate on Matthew in the Bible, and it can also be found in Psalms. And I just want to thank you, first of all, for talking about these things, and second of all, and enlightening people about it. And I want to know what exactly do you consider a beatitude, and what does that phrase mean?
Great. First of all, thank you for your question. I'd say I have a warm place in my heart from Massachusetts. My mom's family is all from Methuen. I don't know if you know Methuen, but it's right there in your state. In answer to your question, the Beatitudes, first of all, you bring up a good point that the Lord Jesus didn't call them the Beatitudes. Our, our tradition has come to refer to them as the Beatitudes. And basically what we mean by the Beatitudes are the eight counsels, eight principles of discernment that Jesus gave us in his Sermon on the Mount that's contained in Matthew's Gospel. Now, there is a version of the Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel, what we call the Sermon on the Plain. But Luke takes a different approach, and he doesn't provide all eight. And there's a reason. There are reasons in terms of Luke writing to Gentiles as to why he gave only a certain version of the Beatitudes. But you're also, your point in terms of the Psalms and wisdom literature is that when the Lord gave the Beatitudes, he was really fulfilling and summarizing the depth of Old Testament wisdom. I think it's also very important to stress that the Beatitudes, the summary, while it's provided in the Christian tradition, this is something that any Jewish believer can believe in. If I can stretch it just a little bit more, the Quran has versions of the Beatitudes. So, and I guess give this example of Jewish believers, Muslim believers, Christian believers, because this expresses that the Beatitudes really are a template written on our nature, our human nature as children of God. So when we speak about the Beatitudes specifically, we're speaking about the eight counsels in the Sermon on the Mount, but there is a broader understanding of the Beatitudes that I think could help us understand that this really is a path to happiness that is given and offered to every child of God. And the Lord Jesus is the exemplar and the way for us to live these most fully.
Taken away from you, can't they?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, repeat that, please.
They can be taken away from you, can't they?
Well, I mean, the blessings that are promised, you know, in terms of the way of life, you know, it's more whether we show up, you know. If we show up, the Lord can give the blessing. If we don't show up, we're not trying, we're not laboring, then God is not able to give us the blessing because of our hard-heartedness. So, again, these are a sure path for us, especially those of us who want real happiness, not euphoria, not pleasure. You know, as some people understand happiness, but a real happiness that understands that we're loved and blessed by God. So I hope that helps. Enjoy Massachusetts.
Thank you, Anonymous. We appreciate your participation in Catholic Answers Live. And Chris in Newport Beach, you are going to be next. Scott in Irving, Texas. And we've got time to get others of you on the program today. Excuse me, 888-318-7884, talking with Father Jeff Kirby about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. And per my exhortation of a few minutes ago, when you get finished reading Matthew 25, actually read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. I think you'll be edified by those. 888-318-7884. More of our conversation is straight ahead. Stay with us.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Back to your calls and questions for Father Jeff Kirby. And just about, give me 15 seconds here to remind you of the Catholic Answers special offer, Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, each available for $5 a piece. That's 70% off the regular price. If you're headed to a march or a walk for life, remember, January is Sanctity of Life Month, and of course, every moment of every day should be one that we uphold the sanctity, the dignity, the worth of every human life from conception to natural death. But sometimes in our culture, there is confusion about this and actually outright hostility toward the cause of life. And so you can be the agent of change in the mind and heart of somebody that you know, or maybe somebody that you don't know. So take advantage of this offer and get these resources from Catholic Answers by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or by calling 888-291-8000. I know that was more than 15 seconds, but we are now going to go back to your calls. Chris is in Newport Beach, California, listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Chris. Welcome aboard with Father Jeff Kirby.
Hi, Father. I would like to ask you in reference to 2 Corinthians 10:5. That is, we just take every thought captive to obey Christ. Do you think that the systematic application of the Beatitudes is doing that or not?
I do, in fact, and I think that it's not simply my opinion, but I really believe that the Lord Jesus, in providing us with the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, was describing exactly what our response to discipleship should look like. So, of course, you know, the whole Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, and then the Lord goes on to provide really a fulfillment of the Old Testament law and also a great summary of what the Christian way of life should look like. So for those of us who have given and seek every day to renew, you know, that yes to Jesus Christ, the Beatitudes are the sure and certain way to both live as Christian disciples and to pursue a life of happiness. So, yes, I would definitely point anyone to the Beatitudes. And to harken back to a previous caller, that was definitely the sense in the early church. And in a catechetical tradition for many centuries, in terms of using the Beatitudes in order to teach the Christian way of life. So I think if you follow the Beatitudes and you study and seek to apply them in your life, you are definitely responding in a radically biblical way to the call of the Lord Jesus.
How's that, Chris? Does that help
Christ
you? Go ahead.
Yes, and to being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete is the complete verse there. So is your obedience complete when you leave this life?
I would argue that. Actually, we joke around and say it doesn't end until 3 hours after you're dead. But, you know, so when the blood stops pumping. But, our obedience has to be consistent. You know, obviously, when we're disobedient, the Lord gently disciplines so that we can understand the real consequences of vice and, more importantly, understand the freedom that he offers to us by his grace. So I think that the call to the obedience of faith, to use the expression from St. Paul, is found in the life of the Beatitudes.
Thanks, Chris. Love the way you tie those scripture passages in there. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. Scott in Irving, Texas next, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep,
just fine.
Hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Jerry, we don't care if you said the wrong scripture passage from Matthew. We still like you a lot anyway, so don't worry about it.
Oh, thanks. I feel so so blessed. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, yeah, sure. Father, I really like the beatitude about seeking righteousness. It's a great comfort to me because my feeling is, or my experience is, when one, or when I, anyway, seek to do the right thing or seek after righteousness, I'll tend to do the right thing, and it's very comforting to me. Do you have any comments about that? Is that your experience as well?
Yes, definitely. In fact, Paul would say, St. Paul would tell us that it's precisely that hope, within that hope is what saves us. Pope Benedict wrote an encyclical quoting St. Paul called Saved by Hope, Spe Salvi. And there he describes, you know, that, you know, when we make the decision, we have the intention and we work and labor, struggle and sacrifice to cooperate with God's grace because we have this hunger and this thirst for holiness, for righteousness. You know, it's precisely, you know, that hope for holiness is precisely that, you know, laborious intention that allows God's grace to work within us. So, absolutely. In fact, oftentimes, you know, the saints will tell us that, you know, holiness is not found in perfection, you know, but holiness is found by the active cooperation of grace in our life now, you know, which is the perfecting that happens. You know, when we get to perfection, that's going to be heaven, you know. So oftentimes I think we have to be patient with ourselves because we want more. We want to go faster than God wants, right? And oftentimes we have to be patient. The spiritual life's not in a rush. So I think that hope, that desire for holiness is the best way to respond to the Lord's call.
How's that, Scott?
Thank you. I like that very much.
All right.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Thanks for the kind words, Scott, and thanks for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. John, is John there? John in Wildwood, New Jersey. Yeah, we're going to go to John next. We've got about a minute and a half. John, fire away.
Yes. I appreciate your program, and your welcome host, substitute host, and I'd like to thank Father Kirby. The questions are... are there any testament verses that reinforce the beatitudes that we could look onto and reflect on? And also, are there any prayers that help put to memory the beatitudes for reflection more deeply?
Yes. So first of all, thank you for your question. I think if we want a summary verse, I think it's in Matthew 16, where the Lord says, you know, if we want to follow him, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. Because that really is the way of the Beatitudes. Unlike, you know, our secular world that says happiness is always getting your way, the path of the Beatitudes involves the cross. You know, so there is suffering. We would argue that suffering and happiness can coexist because we're fallen. Like, sometimes we only look out for ourselves. Sometimes we can be proud or arrogant or jealous or angry. We have to die to that in order to live out and fulfill the goodness that's within us, this cooperation with God's grace, and also seek the goodness in other people. So I think that passage from the Lord to, you know, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, I think is a great summary. And in terms of trying to remember the Beatitudes, I wish I knew a way to easily remember the Beatitudes, but I would say probably just memorize the eight calls and then the eight blessings. So maybe divide the first part of the Beatitudes from the second part and then go that way. But I'm sure there's probably a Catholic school teacher out there that has some mnemonic device, but I don't have any, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
Thanks, John, for the call. Hey, Father, real quick question. Would you say that Matthew 25 would help to be related to the Beatitudes?
You know what, Jerry? I would definitely say that. I would say read Matthew 25. Great.
Father, can we get a quick blessing from you, please?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us. May you allow our hearts to pursue the path to happiness which you have created us for. May you fill us with your spirit. May your presence be with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, blessings on you and your ministry. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jerry. Take care.
Look for the book, Kingdom of Happiness, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life. I'm Jerry Usher, in for Cy Kellett. I'll be back on Friday, 2 hours of open forum for non-Catholics with Steve Ray and Tim Staples. In the meantime, listen for my show on many of these same affiliates, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, noon Eastern time, Monday through Friday, and a replay Monday through Friday at midnight, and a best of show at noon Eastern time on Saturdays. Until we talk again, may the Lord bless you. God bless. We'll be right back.